Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Laurie Beth Jones Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm delighted this morning to have as our guest Sheila Pearson, who is the training manager for Cobb Mattress, Inc. And they are a wholly owned subsidiary of Tyson Foods. And Sheila is passionate about helping members find the perfect fit in the team culture. And Cobb Mattress has been using the Path Elements Profile, or the Elements, since about 2007. They're one of our longstanding customers. In fact, I did the book launch, The Four Elements of Success, at Tyson Foods. John Tyson is a personal friend of mine, and we had so much fun. He'd brought in 150 of his international team, and we did the Path Elements Profile with them. And, oh, there was a lot of laughter and a lot of revelation, and people loved it, and Cobb Mattress has really picked it up and taken it on. So, Sheila, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Sheila and I in the pre-show were talking about her personal elemental profile. Sheila, can you tell us what that is?
I am a wind fire, and I believe my wind score is 72 and my fire score is 69.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I have a dot on the water scale.
So how do you have a dot?
Yeah, it's almost negative. We didn't know if we could go negative or not, so we tested me. We thought if we could go negative, we would know. But I'm not negative, so it's okay.
Oh, that is great. You know, I think I had more fun at the Tyson group than any group I've ever trained. And in one of them, one of the men tested a 79 on the scale, a 78 on fire, and he was talking to the other group, and he said, "Don't make fun of me, I'm a 78 fire." And one of his teammates said, "Yeah, Satan's an 80.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, heavens.
So you are, I'm sure you're just as delightful in person as you sound on the phone, and you say that you're addicted to community service. You're a member of Kiwanis and the Boys and Girls Club, and so she is a well-rounded individual in terms of, you know, it doesn't sound like you're a workaholic as a wind fire. Sometimes we can be very tattooed,
no.
But that wind likes to stir it up in the community, right?
This is true. I hadn't thought of it that way, but we'll say we like to be progressive in the community. Yeah.
That is great. Now, just as a little bit of an overview, Tyson Foods has how many employees?
Oh, 200,000, I guess. I couldn't really speak to Tyson very well, honestly.
Right. 100,000, and you're in how many countries?
Now, Cobb, I can tell you what. Let me speak to Cobb. I know Cobb a little bit better. I don't touch Tyson very frequently, so I don't know the numbers there. But at Cobb, we have a presence in over 86 different countries. We have 1,400 domestic employees and 2,000 employees total. So for us to be in 86 different countries, we've utilized distributors and our relationships there very well.
And one of the main countries that you're in is Brazil, correct?
That's correct. We do have a Cobb production unit there, in addition to, I think, some distributors along the way, but a fantastic production unit in Brazil, big operation, wonderful, just got back about 2 weeks ago, great place to be.
Now, in the pre-show, we were talking about the elements, and you were saying that in Brazil it seems even easier to see the elements interact. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, I don't know why that is exactly, you may have hit an answer there, but it's funny, as an observer or a trainer, when we go through communications and we use the profile as our trigger to talk about communication and how we can improve communication for our team members, it's funny to watch them because it's so apparent what their profiles are. I mean, it's easy to see. And one of the funny things that we did, and I know you've got a funny story as well, the last time that I went and we were working through it, I have a game that I do at the very end, and it's supposed to you're supposed to have a revelation that you can't communicate in your style only, that you really do communicate to the audience that you're talking to, rather than insisting that everybody talk your talk. And so we had a group of, I don't know, 20 people, and I would say 15 of them were fire, and I'm really not exaggerating. And then there were probably four winds and one water. That was basically our makeup of this exercise. And it's challenging, you know, and it's created to be challenging because, well, mainly for kicks and giggles on my part because it's just kind of fun. So we're watching this go through, and it's frustration. I mean, they're yelling at each other. I mean, I'm just so thankful they don't have things to throw. And so finally, our one water steps up and quiets the entire crowd and gets them to move forward, which brings home the point of just how valuable it is to have that diverse group in your team. Without that water, I think I'd probably still be there. I think we'd still be working on that project.
And this was probably a leadership team, correct?
Yeah, it was one of what we would call our mid-level management groups, yeah.
Right. So it's not unusual for managers to be fires and then start yelling at the earths and waters on the team to move faster, show me the results now.
Yeah.
Well, one of the stories that we heard from the Brazilian group was that the trainer had them do the elements. This was early on. And he was in a room, and there was a stage. And so he had divided the group into the waters and the winds and the earths and the fires. And so the winds started their presentation, and the fires yelled at them, "Get up on stage. We can't hear you." So all the winds just went up on stage, and they started doing the presentation. And the facilitator was just awestruck, and he stopped everything, and he said, "Winds, why did you do what the fires tell you to do? They don't have any authority in this room." And the wind said, "We don't know. They just said stage, and we ran up there."
They were probably happy to be on the stage. They're probably looking for a microphone, too.
That is so true, so true. So why is it important for teams to understand the differences among the elements?
You know, and the way we frame that here is that one of our Cobb values is that we are to be the best. So in functioning
right.
under being the best, we really have people strive at what can you do better today than you did yesterday.
Mm.
And it just seems that the most frequent kind of concepts that we come up with is, I could have explained something better. I could have connected with somebody better. And then just that knowing how to connect to different people or knowing how to explain things in a different way is really, really powerful. And with just those really simple concepts of, and I work for an earth. I call him a triple earth, but bless his heart. Knowing the fact that he needs details that I consider completely irrelevant, but to him they're powerful, that makes a difference. We move so much faster and so much clearer. You know, it works. And it works for everybody. That's the great thing that we have found is that everybody understands, like you said, the elements, you know, the wind, fire, earth, water. They kind of know what that means. So it doesn't matter what your background is, doesn't matter your education background, it doesn't matter any of those things. We carry that message pretty deep, and it's just so much fun. We have so much fun with it.
We were talking in the show, I think you said, you have a negative, almost a dot for water.
I know. Bad.
Many times in leadership, the teams will reflect the leader set the pace. And so if you have fire winds in the team leadership, they're going to want everything yesterday, and they're going to want it to be visible, and the earths and waters do their work slowly and underground, and it takes time to produce, you know, things like an oak tree, other things like that. So let's talk about the PEP as in terms of conflict resolution. Have you had any success or stories that you can share about conflicts that were resolved as people looking at their elements?
Well, we certainly have conflict, that's for sure. I don't know. We've had several times where I don't know that we've really used it to resolve it, but we've used it to understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, you know, when we step back and you know, not only the PEP thing, but we also look at, you know, some of the seven habits of success and kind of combine those and think win-win. So we're thinking, how can we, and this is how we resolve our conflict, what's win-win here? And so we really think that concept through and then look at, okay, well, they're a wind, so let's think about what the winds really need in order to feel like they've won. or they're an earth, mm-hmm. let's really think what the earth needs so they can feel like they've won. And we do a lot of that, and especially in retrospect, we look back and think, oh my gosh, look where we failed here. We didn't give this person nearly enough airtime or enough recognition to really feel like they've had enough say in this decision. And that happens a lot.
Wow. You know, I'm reading Ken Follett's book on Giants of the Earth, and he's talking about, it's about World War One. And Woodrow Wilson wanted to form the League of Nations, and he was trying to resolve the war that had gone on for 2 years at this point. Millions of people had died, and there was no progress on any front. And so he asked them, please send me a single sentence about what you hope to achieve through this war. And nobody could name it. And the only thing that came back was, we want to win.
Yeah.
So I think it's really wise how you are applying this in the win-win model, because, like you said, if the wind feels they're not going to get recognition or an ability to express themselves, they're going to resist something.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with the fires and the earths and the waters. So it's interesting. How do waters interpret the kind of fire phrase to be the best? What would that look like to waters on your team?
You know, they interpret it very differently, but yet I think we kind of go, the end result's probably near the same. Being the best for the waters is, they interpret it more of, how is our team or our company going to be the best? There's
mm-hmm.
no individualism in it at all. And so I think they're the support group. They're, if you feel like you failed, we're going to be there behind you to support you so you can be the best. We're here to kind of bring the morale back in center place. And so it's good. We love having the water.
Oh, wow. That's
yeah.
great. Now, how has you knowing your personal element affected you?
daily. every morning at 8 o'clock, you know, again, practicing all those, you know, different habits you've learned along the way. Okay, I'm going to plan today. This is 8 o'clock. I'm going to plan my day. And I honestly have to close my door, you know, and get kind of serious about it, because there's a shiny object somewhere that I will find myself chasing. And I know that at 8 o'clock is my planning time. I've got to sit down and plan my day, and I've got to write it out. I've got to write down the results that I'm trying to get to, because my windy self will, you know, I want to walk down the hall, which I eventually do, but I want to walk down the hall and see how everybody's weekend was, and you know, and... maybe I'm certain that I'll bring myself to center point eventually and tell them about how my weekend was, whether or not they want to know or not. But I know that about myself. So it's a matter of pacing the day.
Oh, that is great. You know, just take a guess with me. What percent of conflict on a team do you think is a result of inadequate communication?
Oh, 70 to 80%,
yeah.
I would say.
That's what I think. And so when you have a group of people who all ostensibly want the same thing and yet communicate it differently, that's where the conflict arises. And it's so important. So you get to travel quite a bit to Brazil, and you love your job.
I do. Got the best job in the company. I'm always afraid to drink anything here because I'm afraid somebody's going to poison me just so they can get my job. It's the best job in the world.
Well, it sounds like you have found a perfect fit within the culture, and that you are passionately and progressively helping people find a fit in their company. Is there anything you'd like to say to maybe an HR director or a training director who's thinking about using PEP for their team communication?
You know, what I would say is, how would I say this? Now you've asked, I've kind of got myself stumped, amazingly. I think the training directors find the weakness in the company as far as what competency that they're weakest in, and if it is communication, find some kind of trigger that is good for everybody in the company. The areas that you have to watch out for are the programs that are really good for the upper echelon but not so good for the production workers. Find a system that works for everybody, because that's going to make the communication flow so much better.
Oh, that is wonderful, wonderful. And that's very wise of you to quickly come to point on that question that I threw out of left field. But I think it is important, and that's what we hear about the PEP, is that people like that it translates across all communication levels, all age levels, all cultures, and the upper echelon sees fire the same way as the production workers see fire. It can burn or it can enlighten. And our goal is to lead all people to their perfect fit in the team culture and thus make a difference in the community. Sheila, thank you so much for your time today. Blessings to all of you in Cobb Vantress and to all wind fires everywhere. Go out and make it a difference after you have planned your day. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, Sheila, thank you. Blessings to you.
All right,
thank
bye-bye.
You to our, thank you to our listeners. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
Bye.